Reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, text number, observing the armies, text number 11. Anyaneshu ca sarveshu yatha bhagam avasthita bhijmam eva virakshantu bhavantak sarve bahi. Anyaneshu, and the strategic points, cha, also, sarveshu, everywhere, itha bhagam, as differently arranged, avasthita, situated, bhijmam, unto grandfather Bhijma, Eva, certainly, Avirakshantu, should give support. Bhavantak, you, Sarve, all respectively, Evahi, certainly. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhijma as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. Prabhupada, Duryodhana, after praising the prowess of Bhijma, further considered that others might think that they've been considered less important. So in his usual diplomatic way, he tried to adjust the situation in the above words. He emphasized that Bhijmadev was undoubtedly the greatest hero, but he was an old man. So everyone must especially think of his protection from all sides. He might become engaged in the fight, and the enemy might take advantage of his full engagement on one side. Therefore, it was important that other heroes not leave their strategic positions and allow the enemy to break the phalanx. Duryodhana clearly felt that victory of the Kurus depended on the presence of Bhijmadev. He was confident of the full support of Bhijmadev and Dronacharya in the battle, because he knew well that he did not even speak a word when Arjuna's wife Draupadi, in her helpless condition, had appealed to them for justice, while she was being forced to appear naked in the presence of all the great generals in the assembly. Though he knew that the two generals had some sort of affection for the Pandavas, he hoped that these generals would now completely give it up, as they had done during the gambling performance. Anyaneshu ca sarveshu yatha bhagam avasthitam bhijmam eva virakshantu bhavantak sarva evahi. All of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhijma as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. It seems that no one is quite sure what of their victory in this battle. Although Duryodhana had inconceivable number of fighters on his side with inconceivable generals, Bhijma could not die unless he wanted to die. There were warriors like Karna, the son of the sun, who had armor that no one could pierce. He was the son of the sun god. He had inconceivable prowess. Brahmati had the same. He had the same prowess as Arjuna did. And yet there was always an anxiety. What's going to happen? As a matter of fact, the whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken by people in anxiety. So what to speak of ourselves? Bhijmadev, Dhritarashtra inquired from his secretary, Sanjaya, what's going to happen? Duryodhana is wondering what's going to happen. He's making all kinds of arrangements diplomatically and otherwise. So he could defeat the Pandavas. But at the end of the day, well, we know, for instance, Krishna, when he came to Arjuna and Duryodhana, came to Dwarka because they were trying to get armies on their side. For instance, there was Bhurishrava. I think it was Bhurishrava. He was taking an Akshohini division of soldiers to join the Pandavas. But on the way, Duryodhana sent all kinds of provisions for the soldiers on the way. They had excellent prasadam, they were dancing, there were entertainment for them. So, naturally he thought, this great general thought, that this is all being provided by Yudhisthira Maharaj. So he said, who's ever given such nice facilities for my generals and for my warriors, all this nice prasadam and entertainment and accommodations, you know, I bless them. I'll give them a benediction. So then Duryodhana appeared and said, that was me. I did it all. So I want you to join my party on to fight against the Pandavas. So because he had made a pledge to give a benediction, he couldn't deny fighting on the behalf of Duryodhana. And so many things happened. The whole Mahabharata is just full of one intrigue after another. So we can see that no one in the material world, even if you become the son of the sun god, or the son of Indra, or the son of the Ashwini Kumaras, or the son of the wind god, or the son of Yamaraj, still there's no peace. There's only problems. But when the problems are utilized on behalf to serve Krishna, when one is serving Krishna, in spite of all the problems, one makes spiritual advancement. So the devotee voluntarily subjects himself to the possibility of being put into difficulty, because he knows that if he's put into difficulty, Vishan Mahagne Purushara Darshanad, Asanna Sabha Vanavana Krichata, Ride Mride Neka Maharatastraso Dronestra Masma Charne Virakshitaha. Vishan Mahagne Purushara Darshanam. That they were fed poison, Kalakut poison. And at least Bhima was fed poison. They tried to kill Bhima, and then they were put into House of Lack, Vishan Mahagne, Mahagne, great fire in their house. And when they escaped the house, which was on fire, they were met by Hindimba, a big Rakshasa, who came to eat them. Now that's what you call a bad night. Your house is put on fire, you escape, and there's a man-eating demon waiting to eat you. And then, after they got finished with that, Vishan Mahagne Purushara Darshanan, Asat Sabha Vana Vavana Krichata, Asab Sabya, Sabya, Sabha, Asat Sabha, which means that the vicious assembly where Duryodhana, where Dushasan tried to strip Draupadi naked. And then, after they lost the gambling match, they were exiled into the forest. After they're exiled into the forest, so many difficulties in the forest. Durvasa Muni was ready to curse them. Duryodhana sent an army to defeat them. And then finally they got free from the curse, and after living a year in incognito, they finally could come out, and they declared war against the Duryodhana, because he wouldn't give in to, even them enough land to put a pin into. So then they fought against them, and the fighting was, they were throwing Brahmastra weapons, all kinds of weapons. 18 days of just sheer, well, we could say hell. Just one problem, and we think we have it bad. Imagine fighting day and night, and every moment someone's trying to kill you. You could actually get a little paranoid after a while. Finally, that was over. Duryodhana was killed. And his Ashwatthama threw Brahmastra weapons to kill Pariksha Maharaj and kill the Pandavas. So it didn't seem like any end. But finally, when it was all over, and the Pandavas had regained the kingdom, and they were ruling the world, they were actually quite disappointed. Because whenever they were in trouble, Krishna would come and try to save them. But now they weren't in trouble anymore, so Krishna never came anymore. So then they started to make plans that had to create problems so Krishna would come and they could get his darshan, his association. But as I said, we don't have to make plans, because Kali Yuga means that there's nothing but problems. Because people are disappointed, because they think, especially devotees, they think if I join the Hare Krishna movement, that will put an end to all my problems. I'll have a nice prasadam, I'll have a nice place to sleep, and once in a while I'll go to Mangalarti. And then they find out that even in the Hare Krishna movement, there are sometimes problems. Because without problems, there's no impetus to rely on Krishna. If everything goes all right, then generally speaking, we think, well, what do I need Krishna for? Everything's going all right. We don't have to go to church and pray, oh, Krishna, give us our daily chapatis. Because we're getting them anyhow. So similarly, Duryodhana is in difficulty, but in his difficulty, he uses his material intelligence to try to figure out how to solve his problems. And he's quite intelligent. And he's making all kinds of arrangements. He got so many millions and millions of soldiers on his side. He has all these great generals, but still he's a little doubtful. They were quite surprised that the Pandavas, who were in exile for so long, could come up with, at least they came up with 7 Akshohini's divisions of soldiers. The American army has like 1,300,000, 400,000. But an Akshohini division of soldiers is like so many thousands and thousands of chariots and thousands of elephants and hundreds and thousands, hundred and something thousands of soldiers. So this is a big battle. And it wasn't they were hiding in some underneath the ground firing rockets. They were actually on the battlefield. They had to fight face to face. And some of them had divine weapons. Someone would throw an arrow, would shoot an arrow, and then with the divine astra, the arrow would multiply into 10. And then each one of those arrows that were multiplied would divide into 10 again, and then 10 again, and then 10 again. Multiplying 10 each time. And if you were a poor little soldier on the battlefield, no, you know, you get struck with, you know, 1,000 arrows, what kind of chance do you have? A porcupine would have more space in his body. So this is what they were fighting against. But of course, the difference is that if they fought on the battlefield and they were killed, then they go to the heavenly planets at least. Which would require a great amount of sacrifice on behalf of the Brahmins to become qualified to go to the heavenly planets. But being killed on a Dharma Kshetra battlefield would automatically have them eligible. So none of them, because they actually had faith, they had knowledge, because it was Dwarpa Yuga, they weren't worried about what the outcome of the battlefield was, because they knew it was auspicious no matter what happened. In Kali Yuga, everyone's trying to make something auspicious, but ultimately everything is inauspicious. There's one war, or there's pandemic, or there's some revolution, or there's some financial collapse, or whatever. It's just one problem after another. Nothing really auspicious is going on. People sometimes, they think, if I win the lottery, that will be auspicious. But if you read the history of the people who win the lottery, their whole lives become very inauspicious, generally. Most of them lose all their money within a few years because they don't know how to spend it, they don't know how to utilize it. Like one man won the lottery twice, hundreds of millions of dollars. And he had a very beloved granddaughter. So he gave his granddaughter all kinds of money, and she became a drug addict. Eventually overdosed on drugs and died. And she was the basis of his happiness. So he was so happy he won the money, but then it caused him the greatest amount of unhappiness when he lost his granddaughter. Therefore, the conclusion is we should try to, as much as possible, engage in Krishna consciousness and try to tolerate all the problems that come with Kali Yuga, because it's inevitable. There has to be problems. And therefore, Krishna says, first of all, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prajayati Yada Kaman Saram Partha Manogatan Anmani Vatmana Tushta Stita Pragyasva Toshate. One who is not disturbed, a man who gives up all the varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, and his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, he is said to be situated in perfect knowledge. And then Krishna says, one who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there's happiness, is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as the sage of steady mind. And then Krishna says, Yaksarvatmaram visnehas tatat patatya pravashubham tibi nadveshti nadveshti tasya pragya pratishtita. One who doesn't become disturbed when there's an upheaval, Yaksarvatmaram visnehas, one who's not disturbed when there's upheavals in the material world. To the end. In the material world, one is not affected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So first we have to tolerate our own minds, not get misled by them. Then the next stage was we have to try to tolerate, in spite of the fact that we're not misled by our material desires, still there'll be problems anyhow. There'll be attachment arising, there'll be fear arising, there'll be so many things. And sometimes things will actually turn out quite well, and we have to tolerate that too. And then ultimately, not only it's our own minds we have to tolerate, or our own circumstances, but we have to tolerate what's going on in the material world. We may be trying to sincerely become Krishna conscious, but there may be external factors that are beyond our control that we also have to tolerate. And therefore Krishna says we have to learn how to withdraw our senses from the sense objects, just like the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell. Then one can actually Vishayani Vanivartante Niraharasidenam Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Paramdishvanivartate. Then one can actually get a higher taste by concentrating on Krishna. So whatever helps us concentrate on Krishna is a blessing, and whatever takes our mind away from Krishna is a curse. So Kali Yuga is a lot of opportunities to get blessings. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for the lecture. And you say in the class about situation in material world, problem come one after another. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like in this time, problem so much because many disturbing in this world. How to be more peaceful because so much difficult situation, and if you sensitive person, very hard to separate from this and live a peaceful life.
Well, the idea of the purpose of life is not to lead a peaceful life. That's not possible in Kali Yuga. Unless you go to some remote island in the South Pacific where no one else comes to. And even then the mosquitoes will come and bite you. It's not possible. So we have to learn how to fix the mind upon Krishna. And at the same time, we don't look for trouble, that's all. We learn how to, if we're tolerant, if we can tolerate our own minds, then we can tolerate other people also. As Prahlad Maharaj said, in this world there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. So how to become peaceful? Put the mind on Krishna. Otherwise it's not possible to be peaceful. And then there's activities that help put our minds on Krishna, so we should perform those activities. Otherwise, Krishna says, the formula for peace is Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Khyatvamam Shantarichate. The sages who know me as the Supreme Lord of all the planets and demigods, the ultimate benefactor and well-wisher of all the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, and the ultimate benedictor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Nasti buddhi yuktasya, na cha yuktasya bhavana, na chabhavinatak shantir, ashantasya kutak sukham. One who is not in transcendental knowledge can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence. One who is not in Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence. without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. Therefore, Almighty Arm, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And what is the time of awakening for the self-control is the night for all sentient beings. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apapavishanti yadvat tadvat kamiyam pravishanti sarve sashantimat noti nakama kami. One who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Vihaya kamiyak sarvam pumam sharatini spriha, nirmamo nirahankara sashanti mandigachiti. One who gives up all desires of sense gratification, becomes free from desires, gives up all sense of proprietorship, and devoid of false ego, he alone can attain peace. That is a way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is never bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Anything else? Yes.
I remember, I don't know if someone told me or I read somewhere about Ashwatthama that he got cursed.
Yeah, I think he has a bad smell. Ashwatthama killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi. And I don't remember. I do know he threw the Brahmastra to kill the Arjuna. That's in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And then Arjuna counteracted it. But how he got, he got captured by Arjuna, because Ashwatthama was trying to get away, tied up, and then the jewel on his head was cut off by Arjuna, and then I guess he was, because he wasn't cursed because he had killed sleeping warriors. He was a curse because of his sinful activity of doing that.
Because I don't know if I remember correctly, but I think it was cursed like that he
would
have to stay or not for a long time.
Yeah, he's here until the end of Kali Yuga. Anyhow, he's not in a good position right now. Good longevity. Took his vitamin pills. But other than that, he's not in a very, happy situation. Somewhere in the Himalayas. It's cold there too. But you can meet him at the end of Kali Yuga. I think he'd be, if you want to stay around. Anything else? Hola, Granthiraj, Shaman Bhagavad Gita, Kijaj.